Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 31, Healing, Five God Reasons. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on July 15th, 2018.
Praise the Lord. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day which you have made. We're glad and rejoice in it because you are good and your mercy endures forever. Your mercies are new this morning. Your faithfulness is unsurpassed. You're an awesome God. You're a wonderful Savior. You're a glorious Lord. We lift up the name of Jesus in this place today. We thank you, Father, for the presence of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into truth. And we ask you, Lord, Lord, Holy Spirit, to open the Word to us this morning. Make it alive to us, Lord. Help it to be living inside of us so that when we open our mouths to speak, Lord, we speak as the oracles of God. We speak as a prophet of God. We speak as the Word made flesh that's dwelling within us, Lord, to those that we speak to, Lord. May it bring grace to them. May it bring hope to them. May it bring healing and deliverance to them. And may it bring blessing in their lives. And for it, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. So, does God really love me? Almost every human being wants the answer to that question, does God really love me? They may not be expressing it exactly that way, but when you begin to talk to people and you try to find a source of any hope or dream, it comes down to, does God really love me? A while back, we shared a video about a little boy from Ireland. He was healed from stage 4 neuroblastoma cancer. In other words, he had cancer in his bones, cancer in every bone of his body except for his hands and his feet. Well, it's really an awesome testimony. You can go on YouTube. It's an Andrew Womack Healing Journeys testimony. And you can see the whole testimony. It's worth seeing again and again because it's just an amazing, amazing story. But today I want to replay just a short portion of that really great testimony of God's love for this family. So let's watch.
Where we were in our faith, it's as if we had tried everything. But then it was like this voice from heaven saying, take your net and put it over on the other side. Because there were many people saying to us, you can't do that. You don't fish there. You don't do that. And it was a big step in faith for us to do. When we saw his bones healed, we got very, very excited about this. And, you know, it's not a popular thing. I had people saying to me, listen, don't talk about healing. You cannot say that God always wants to heal. And if you just keep your mouth shut and don't talk about healing, everything will be fine. But I said, I gotta let you into a wee secret. When I get excited about something, I can't keep quiet. I can't shut up. And what we realized in our own hearts was, especially when we listened to the teaching of Andrew Womack, was that we actually had faith and unbelief at the same time. And when we came to that realization, that was a whole revelation to us. Then we began to rebuke that unbelief and work to get rid of it and build our faith and confidence and trust in God. And that was a huge thing for us. And all of a sudden we were getting such a great catch. Not only did we see Andrew here, but we saw others too. And so it was just so exciting to see the Word of God work. So to get through all of that, and then of course we had the reassessment.
That was the 18th of October, 2012. We were in the car park in the supermarket. We got a phone call from our consultant.
Andrew's cancer free. And it was sort of a numbing feeling because I put it on speakerphone. We both listened. We said, oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much. And then we hung up and we kind of just pulled in and we looked at each other. And we weren't jumping up and down and all ecstatic. And I think the reason for that is because we already knew. A year ago, we knew he was healed.
Mike posted it on Facebook and you know, the 5,000 people that have been following. But we got that day the little thing of like, you know, the numbers went up, 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 up. Every time you refreshed, it went up, 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 went up. to around 24,000. I thought the whole world, all over the globe, there are people and there's churches sharing and shouting and rejoicing.
This whole thing is about God's amazing grace. When I had that revelation of grace, then I couldn't shut up about it. And it was the same feeling as I had when I was born again. And that's radically changed our lives. It's brought a freshness and newness and a great excitement and a great confidence in the love of God and the goodness of God. And open doors to share with people. I have no problem going to people and sharing Jesus. Right now, I'm in a place where if I see someone who's sick, whereas before I would have run away and avoided, right now I just go to them and say, I have great news for you. I want to tell you something you may not have heard before. God is good. He loves you and he wants you to be healed. And it really is because of all that we've learned on this journey with Andrew and also through the teaching of Andrew Womack. At the same time, I wouldn't say that God put us in that situation with Andrew to learn that lesson, but it was through what we went through with Andrew that we realized that God was there with us through it. And when we called out to him, he was right there for us to help us. But certainly he didn't make him sick or even allow, permit, or want it in his life.
He is full of life. He's such a zest for life, you know, he loves life. And it's fantastic to see him. Very active, very playful, very happy.
Again, we're so thankful for the doctors and the nurses and the wonderful job that they do, but our faith is not in them or the medication. Our faith was firmly rooted in God, in his love, in his finished work, and in his word. And we're so thankful. And that's why we want to share this with others. We want to tell others, God is good. He's gooder than you think.
God is good. Yes, he is. Amen.
Amen.
So does God really love me? Every person wants that answer. But I can tell you right now, he does deeply love you. He does. He really does. And we can prove that to you through a simple study of God's own name. You know, Moses, the Bible says, had several meetups with God. You know, several places he saw him at the bush and he saw him on the mountain and he had some regular meetups with him in the tabernacle. But on one of those occasions, it was on the top of Mount Sinai. You remember he went up to get the Ten Commandments? And during that time, God passed by him and he didn't actually see God's face in that case, but he passed by him and he saw the backside of God. And God was calling out his powerful name. And this is how it's recorded in Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in covenant love and faithfulness. So there they are, the name of God that is in five awesome attributes of his love. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in covenant love, and abounding in faithfulness. What an awesome God we serve. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's turn to the book of Mark, this 10th chapter. We want to look at a story of how Jesus demonstrated those attributes in the life of a real person who had real needs, who had real problems, a real situation in his life. In Mark chapter 10, it's a story of blind Bartimaeus. Bars meaning son, so it's son of Timaeus. It's kind of repeated in that scripture as a translation of the name. Mark 10, verse 46, and it says, "And they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling for you.'" It's amazing how people change their mind. First they're telling him to shut up, now they're telling him to get up. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you notice how direct Jesus is? How he gets to the point? Because the point is that he probably could see that the man was blind. He could probably see that he was a beggar. He could probably see that he was in poverty. But he says to the guy, "What do you want me to do for you?" And it's important. When you go to God, do you know what you want him to do for you? Because God's into specifics, not generalities. We could just say, "God, generally, just give me blessing." And I'm sure he would try to accommodate, but he might be wondering, I wonder what kind of blessing this person wants. So Jesus just cuts the chase and he says to this man, "What do you want me to do?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Verse 52, it says, Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. I think it's one of the most amazing stories in the Bible about someone who received healing from God, received the love of God, received the grace and the mercy of God, received the faithfulness of God just by crying out, first of all, for his attention. And when he got his attention, being specific in his faith about what he wanted to receive and releasing that faith to come to Jesus and knowing that he was going to receive what he asked for, because obviously he had probably heard somebody say Jesus was a healer. Jesus healed blind people. Jesus healed lame people. Jesus healed cripples. Why not me? And that day he would not be put off by people, by what they thought or what they said or how they felt or what they thought, their philosophy of religion. He would not be put off by anybody. "Just take me to Jesus." And you know, we should have that same kind of attitude when something happens in our lives. You know, sometimes tragedy happens, sometimes sickness, whatever. But when those things happen, the temptation is to panic. I suppose these folks that you saw on the screen were tempted to panic when they got the diagnosis of their little boy having cancer. What a tragedy. She was pregnant with her next child, and they were believing for that next child to be a playmate for the little boy. And now he's struck down with cancer. It's like a death sentence for most people. And most people just panic and are grief-stricken and are whatever. But that's the temptation. But you can't give in to the temptation. And then they probably had people around them saying, "Yes, but, you know, this is serious, you know." And saying, "Oh, no, this can't happen." But it did happen. And when you panic, you go out of faith and you start walking in the areas of unbelief. So when those kind of things happen, you can't afford to listen to what other people say or other people think about it. You need to get back to what does the Word of God say about this thing. And that's what I like about this testimony, because these folks, they faced the tragedy, they faced the circumstances, they faced the situation with the little boy, they faced the cancer face to face. And instead of panicking and despairing, they began to get into the Word and began to study what did God really say. Actually, that couple lived in the place where the man wrote the song, "The Amazing Grace." And so, I mean, they actually lived in the village where that song was written. But, you know, the grace wouldn't have been amazing for them if they hadn't got a hold of the Word of God. Because the Bible says, by grace you're saved through faith. It's a gift from God. So they learned how to appropriate the kind of faith that would receive the miracle for their little boy. And he came out of that stage 4 cancer, and you saw it on the screen. He looked pretty well and alive to me on that screen. What an awesome, awesome testimony. But this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, you know, he was crying out for mercy at the beginning, but in the end, it was the faith that he exhibited in the words of Jesus that actually resulted in his receiving healing. He came to a place of believing that he could receive from Jesus the thing that he desired. You know, in Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. Or you could say, have the God kind of faith. How do we get that God kind of faith? The Bible says that by faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. That's why here we always encourage people, get in the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Get that inside of you so that when things happen, what comes out of you is the Word of God, not what people think or not your fears or your anxieties or your what-ifs and your questionings, but the Word of God can rise up and strike down the kinds of things that the enemy would use to kill, steal, and destroy in your life, in the life of your family, lives of the people around you. It's so important to have the Word of God in your heart. And so this guy, he's crying out for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. But basically that was just the get attention, get the attention of Jesus, get me to him situation, because he was sidelined. He was in the ditch. But thankfully, the voice of the man arrested Jesus, and he got out of the ditch and into the road. And when he got into the road with Jesus, his whole life changed. Because on that day, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And you know, that's really what Jesus is saying to you and to me. What do you want me to do for you? He's not holding stuff back from us. He's not trying to keep things from us. He's just asking, what do you want me to do for you? Is it in your family? Is it in your health situation? Is it in your job? Is it in your workplace? Where is it? What do you want me to do for you? You know, God said he was a God of love, the Lord, a God that is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in covenant love and faithfulness. You know, that's not the picture a lot of people have of God. And, you know, if you read the Old Testament, it's kind of up and down because, you know, God had a work with some stiff-necked people that were rebellious and had full of unbelief and fears and all kinds of things. And, you know, sometimes he couldn't stop the things that were happening from people because they brought it on themselves with their unbelief, their doubt, their fears, their anger, their contentiousness, their rebellion. You know, it brought sickness, it brought disease, it brought plague, it brought all kinds of things. And yet God never changed from being the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in covenant love and faithfulness. And one of the things that you can see through all of those stories is the abundant patience that God had with people. I mean, he should have killed them on the first day, but he didn't kill them on the first day. But, you know, we stand in the same place. Yet if we got what we deserved, you know, we'd be a grease spot on the sidewalk somewhere. Because in a lot of ways, we mirror the things that all of those people walked all the way from Egypt into the Promised Land. Because we've gone through cycles of and having to correct ourselves and having to repent from things and having to come back to God and say, yeah, I did that, but that's not right. That's not good. It's not your heart. It's not me. And I want to be what and who you want me to be. Amen. So we're striving to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when we walk in the Spirit, we'll put to death the things of the flesh that would take us away from God. Amen. So, I mean, it's really the key to living, but how many times have we ignored that? You know, even if you know that, you can know that in your head and not be practicing it every day. So it's something that we have to, the Bible says we should exhort one another while it's still today. We should encourage one another while it's still today. And not only that, when nobody else is encouraging you, you need to encourage yourself. You know, be like David at Ziklag, encourage yourself in the Lord. If nobody else is speaking it, you know, you have your own Bible. You have your own Word of God. So encourage yourself and say, devil, get out of here. Jesus is Lord in my house. Amen. And don't let go of it. Be tenacious like a pit bull and grab a hold of it and stay on it, you know. Shake that rat till he's got the devil shaken out of him and go for the things of God. Because, you know, if somebody else isn't doing it for you, you got to do it for yourself. Amen. So praise the Lord. Don't wait around. I mean, get some help or get somebody to pray with you, but don't just stop there. Get it for yourself. Get in the Word for yourself and find out, this is what God says to me. This is what He's speaking to me. This is for me today. This is for me now. Now faith is the substance of the things I hope for. Now my faith is the evidence of the things I cannot see. So I like that Waymaker song, you know, even when I don't feel it, He's still working. When I don't see it, He's still working. Hallelujah. Let's go for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's take a look at those five attributes of God. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in covenant love and faithfulness. Those are the five awesome attributes of His love. So here's how they could apply to me and to you. Number one, God is merciful. That word merciful also means that He's compassionate. The Good Samaritan felt compassion towards the man that was in the ditch. You know, the guy that got beaten up by the robbers or whatever. And the priest passed by, the Levite passed by, but the Good Samaritan stopped. And he poured oil and wine in his wounds and took him to the inn and paid the innkeeper to keep him. I mean, this is like this guy that was an outsider came to the inside and became the help for the ones that the religious people should have helped. But they didn't. So he stepped into that place and had compassion on that man who was beset with the robbers. So God is moved with love, with mercy, with compassion toward every human being's misery that sin has caused. God is moved by compassion. When Jesus saw the multitudes, the Bible said He had compassion, and He said they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're like sheep without a shepherd straying. They need help. They need blessing. They need somebody to lead them. And that's God's challenge to us, is to be able to take the mercy that He's poured into our lives and to take it to others. Those sheep that are out there without the shepherd, you're there for them. You were created for this time, for this hour, to reach out to that person that needs mercy, that needs the compassion of God. God is merciful, number one. Number two, God is not just merciful, but He's gracious. God's deep feelings of compassion and mercy result in His desire to forgive you. God longs to be gracious. He doesn't just casually say, well, I'm a gracious God. Well, hallelujah. But He longs. His heart is a heart of compassion. We see that in the story of the prodigal son, you know, the son who spent everything else on wild living and took his inheritance and squandered it and then came back broken and destroyed by the sin in his life and hurting, and the Father reaches out with love and compassion to him. God is merciful, but He is also gracious. The prodigal son's father forgave him the moment that he returned home in repentance, and that's the kind of God we serve. He's not waiting there with a baseball bat to smack you upside the head every time you step out of line. But when you come back in repentance, He is gracious. He's more gracious than any kind of words can describe. We are the prodigals. We're far from God. But there is no limit to His forgiveness if we only return to Him with all of our heart and receive that forgiveness. You see, He can offer the forgiveness. It's already provided for. The cross is the guarantee. The Jesus rising from the dead is the seal. The Holy Spirit is sent to seal the redemption that He's purchased for you. But if you don't receive it, you can carry it for the rest of your life. Many people carry things for years and 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 never release it. They don't forgive people. They don't release, you know, things that have happened to them. They carry grudges and bitterness in them. And all of those things block the blessing of God from coming to you. But God is gracious, and He is forgiving, and we're to model and to mirror all of that. And when we do that, it releases the power and the presence of God's grace to come into your life and change everything. Praise the Lord. But not only is God gracious and merciful, God is slow to anger. God is perfect, and we are human. You get that? I'm sure you get that. Forgiveness does not mean instant perfection. We're a work in progress. Everybody knows that. I mean, around the world, around you, there might be people saying, well, you just go to that church and that's full of, the church is full of hypocrites and all of those kind of things because, you know, people don't live up to the standard of God and they don't live up to what they profess all the time. But you know what? When you're looking around at other people, you should be looking on the inside and saying, what about me? You know, when you're pointing the finger, there's some more pointing back at you. So we need to look at ourselves, come to God in repentance and say, Lord, forgive me for condemning people for the way they think, the way they act, the way they believe, and all of those kind of things. And help me to show the love of Jesus Christ to them in a way that they can understand and receive. I mean, because that's really what it's all about. God didn't, He didn't spare anything to show His love to you and to me. And yet we many times are, you know, kind of like the guy who owed a lot of debt and yet he wouldn't forgive the guy that owed a little debt to him, you know, and Jesus, in the Jesus story, he got caught. He got caught in his unforgiveness, really, in his unrelenting selfishness. He got caught. But we can't be that kind of people. We need to mirror and be like the God who is slow to anger, because we too are a work of progress. His word changes us. His spirit changes us. His people help us to change. The people that God has placed around you, they're there to help you. Sometimes it's iron sharpens iron, and sometimes it's, you know, like somebody chipping off the rough edges. But God places people around you for a purpose. And He uses them to help you change. So step by step and layer by layer, you can walk into His grace, His mercy, and you can find out that He's slow to anger. He works in us like a sculptor creating a masterpiece. So you're the masterpiece in the making. And He's created you with a purpose, with a plan, and He's made you to be valuable to the kingdom. So you've got to take your place, and you've got to find that place of ministering out of the grace and the mercy of God and out of the love of God into the lives of other people. So God is merciful. God is gracious. God is slow to anger. But God is also, number four, a God of covenant love. So it's one step deeper. God called His name covenant love. In the Bible, this word describes marriage. Marriage is covenant love. When two people enter a solemn, committed, lifetime relationship, God's love is like that. It's a covenant love. It's a love that's unrelenting. It's a love that doesn't quit. It's a love that's not taken back. It's a love that's unconditional. It's not flighty. It's not flippant, but it is eternal. That's how God's covenant love is manifested in the lives of people. So what do? We should rest in His love and not have any fear that He's going to betray us in some way, but lay back in His love and empty and enjoy our relationship with Him, because He's a God of relationship. He created you for relationship. He created you to be in communion with Him. He created you to be in connection with Him, because that's how His love works. Nothing can separate you from His eternal love. According to Romans 8, verse 38, when Paul is talking about what can separate me from the love of Jesus, nothing, nothing in earth, nothing in heaven, nothing in hell, nowhere, no one, nothing can separate me from the precious love of God. So we need to come to a place of rest in that. You know, some people are insecure, you know, where if you've had some bad experiences, you've had trauma, or you've been a subject of abuse, you know, sometimes it's difficult to find kind of the love of the Father that brings healing in that place. But just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's impossible, because the love of God can penetrate even the biggest wrong, the biggest injustice. God's love penetrates that and takes you to a new place of victory, a new place of peace and joy, and especially a place of rest. You've got to rest in that love and be secure in that love. You know, I saw that couple hugging their children, holding their children. You know, it's a picture of kind of the rest that God's children should have with Him. Because those kids are secure. You can see that with their parents. They're secure with their parents. They're loving their parents. The little boy's hugging its daddy. It's a picture of God's love and resting in that love. And then finally, number five, God is faithful. God not only has forgiven you, He's been patient with you, and then to top it off, He married you. And He loves to protect you. I mean, that's God. He's just faithful about that. He protected Israel because He was married to them. He will also be your keeper. Psalm 121 verse 5 says, "The Lord is our keeper." He's a keeper. Amen. And so you can take it to the bank. You know, other people can forsake you. People can hate you. People can turn on you. People can malign you. But God is faithful. And He's always there for you. You never have to wonder. I wonder if He'll be there. You know, if you get up and you meet with Him in the morning, He'll be there. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you morning, noon, and night. He's longing for you. He's longing for that fellowship in the cool of the day like He had with Adam and with Eve. It was the perfect scenario. In the cool of the day and the beauty of the garden, God walked with that couple. And yet, we say, well, all of that was messed up by sin, but Jesus went to the cross. Hallelujah. To make a place where you can have fellowship with God like Adam and Eve had with Him in the garden. And when you find that place of His love, you can find healing and restoration and rest and peace and joy. So you might say, well, what do all those things have to do with healing? Well, we all walk through trials and we walk through difficulties, but that doesn't mean that God does not love you. Sometimes people think that God caused all these things, and some preachers and ministers even teach that God brought this stuff to teach you a lesson and all of those kind of things, but they've forgotten that God is merciful. They've forgotten that God is gracious. They've forgotten that God is slow to anger. They've forgotten that God is a God of covenant love. He doesn't go back on His promises. They've forgotten that God is faithful. So I want to remind you today that even when you're going through difficulties and troubles and things like that, that Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when those things happen, or if those things happen or come your way, just remember, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, and He's taking you through this thing, not into it. Amen? So you're coming out the other side. So that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. He promised that He would never leave us and never forsake us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will not fear evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. What would that be today? It would be the Word of God and His Spirit are comforting you. That's the rod, that's the staff. The Word and the Spirit, they're comforting you in that place of trouble or trial. And through it, you can come to the place of victory or breakthrough. Many stories of the Bible illustrate this point again and again and again, that God's people can come to a place of victory and a place of breakthrough when they remember who God is. And if that God is what He said He is and who He said He is, they can always come out on the other side with victory after victory after victory after victory. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to break here and take a small time to do some focus on those five attributes of God. In your bulletin, they're listed there under the scripture of Exodus 34:6. So let's break up into small groups for just a few minutes, and then let's come back and we'll wrap up this message with some other things that God is saying. God bless you. Okay, about five more minutes to wrap up. Thank You, Father. We're confident in Your love today. We thank You, Father, for Your mercy and Your gracious, that You are compassionate, that You're God of covenant love, Father. We just praise You and thank You, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated for a minute. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, you don't realize how kind and how patient and how tolerant God is with you. Or don't you care? Can't you see how kind he's been in giving you more time to turn from your sin? You know, back to step one, if we've allowed his deep compassion to be gracious to us and to forgive us, then we can rest in his love. Amen. We can come to a place of knowing that his grace is sufficient, his power is made perfect where we're weak, and we can enter into that place like the blind man Bartimaeus when he cries out to God and he knows that he's confident that Jesus will answer his requests. So he cuts to the chase, he gets specific with his prayer, he says, Jesus, that I can receive my sight. You know, the most amazing part of that is it put him back on the road with Jesus. The Bible says that he got on the road and he followed Jesus. So that should be the picture of our life, is that his grace, his mercy, his being slow to anger, his covenant love, his faithfulness should put us on the road with him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So what's left? It's just to do it now, right? It starts us on a journey of walking with an eternal God who loves us deeply until we see him face to face. So let's keep on that journey. If you've been on it, let's take it step by step. Let's press into it. But it also should bring us to a place of humility, humbled today over the fact that his kindness, and in his kindness, he's forgiven us. Never let that forgiveness be a perverted attitude of superiority. You know, I'm better than you, or I'm better at whatever. Sometimes Christians get that way. It's just kind of like we're better than the next person. But stay repentant. Be ever grateful that he's transformed your life. Let that continual gratitude and repentance keep you from pride. Let it keep you from religious arrogance from now till you see him face to face. Because he's an awesome God, and he's worthy of our praise. So let's stand and let's just go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father, we just thank you that what you provided at the cross, it was enough. Jesus, when you said it was finished, it really was finished. You took our sins in your own body on the tree so that we could be dead to sin and alive to righteousness and be healed by your stripes. You opened heaven's doors for us because, Jesus, you're the way, the truth, and the life. We know that no one can come to the Father except through you. So we come to you today with grateful hearts, Lord, knowing that you're the embodiment of all those attributes of God, gracious, slow to anger, exuding covenant love, faithfulness, merciful. Thank you, Jesus, that you're all of those and more to us because you paid the price for our sins. You took on our sicknesses, our pains, our sorrows, and you carried it all so that we could be free to serve you, to love you, and to take your kingdom to the ends of the earth. So thank you, Jesus, for empowering us with the Holy Spirit, for releasing your grace for us to receive. Let that grace for living come over our lives today that we can serve you acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. We praise you for it in Jesus' name, Father. And everybody said, Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.